be called there. I'll let you know later.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
No, I don't want to play the piano. Yes,
he's trying to get to play the piano. I told him no.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. This morning, we thank God that we have the freedom to assemble together again here and praise and worship God, and bring our prayers before him and to hear his word preached. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your church bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to thank you for worshiping with us today. Our brother Joby Noriel will be leading our second service today at Pacific Hills Manor at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And again, of course, all are invited to join in that service. At the 5 o'clock service this afternoon, Pastor Otero will continue teaching the series on Jesus Christ as revealed in the Old Testament. Today he will speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, our intercessor, in the books of Samuel. In your bulletin, there is an insert. Draw your attention to that. Baby shower luncheon for Christina and Luke Prater. And all ladies, younger and a little older, are invited to attend. A final note, next Sunday, March 24th, we will have our quarterly business meeting directly following the morning worship service, and we encourage everyone to attend. And so please consult your bulletin for other activities this afternoon. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Job 19, verses 25 and 26. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Let us begin our worship with the singing of hymn number 459, He Lifted Me.
Yeah.
us now sing hymn numbers 464, I Will Praise Him. Just like to bring your attention a correction in the insert in your bulletin. The baby shower for Christina and Luke Prater, Saturday, March 23rd, is at 11:30 a.m., not 1:30 p.m. Please note that. Thank you. Now, will you please stand as we sing hymn number 224, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
Thank you. us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of our High Priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Father, as a church body, we come asking you to bless us today, to reveal your Son, to reveal your words of exhortation, to challenge our life to a better service, to encourage our life because of Christ's resurrection. And then as a church body, we pray that as we read in the Gospel of Mark, and as we meditate upon the last events in Jesus' life, we may receive the challenge that Jesus imposed to the disciples, and that we as a church body, from the pastor down, may fulfill that challenge in our city, in the city that follow, around the world. Oh, Father, give us the blessedness of getting excited for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we are ready to worship you through the choir as the choir brings a song of worship. We are ready to worship you through the reading of God's word through Brother Plica. And then, Father, we worship you as we meditate upon God's word. And I pray your blessings upon us, blessings upon my lips and my heart, that I may speak your word with kindness and gentleness, but with truthfulness and toughness. And Father, I pray for those who are listening over the KKMC radio, over the KKX radio, and over the internet, that these people may be touched by the word of God and challenge whatever they are in their homes so that they can become a blessing into their own home church. And Father, we pray for those who are sick. I'm so glad to see Brother McDowell this morning with us. And we pray that the final touching and blessing on his kidney transplant may be done. I thank you, Lord, for the improvement on my own daughter, Miriam Lacey. And I pray that the recovery be steady so that I can recover my wife. And then, Father, I pray for Daniel. He told me the excitement of going, and now Miriam relayed to me that there were 40 people in the chapel before the race in Florida. And these people, they don't need to go to chapel because they have money. They have the glory of this world. But I guess on the race also there is death. And they know perhaps that they will know something about it, or that perhaps they will receive a special touch. And Daniel was excited. 250 people gathered together on the school grounds to listen to Daniel. And Father, thank you. In this state, they are allowed to speak the word of God right there on the schools. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Encourage my son-in-law. Give him his strength, Lord, and let him know that in thee you are a provider for his life as long as we do the ministry of the gospel in the way that you taught us. Thank you, Lord, for the other missionaries. We do have Fred and Carol Lewis now in the state, and they are visiting their parents in Oregon, and Raquel was able to talk to them, and Carol needs surgery, and I pray for that surgery, that you be with the doctors and with her. We look forward to have them here on April. Father, we look for Carol and Ruth Knotts. I have no news about his move to Sevilla or not, but bless that couple that with firmness for 18 years have ministered the gospel of Jesus in Spain. Father, for Eusebio and Maritza Perez, a wonderful couple challenging the people in Benalmadena, Spain, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the midst of darkness. And then, Father, for Ruben and Irene Zachert as they minister in Lodi for the people there, for the Spanish people. For Martha Peretti as she deals with the alcoholics in Argentina, and for Danny as he works in the area of the car racers. And Father, we also are involved in San Jose with the sports center, and we pray that ministry never cease but reach people here and there so that one may come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for providing for our church. You are a provider. You're a God who carry your own ministry. And thank you, Lord, for your people at Bethel who are givers. They know the need and they provide for the need. Thank you, Lord, for those who are listening to me over the internet and over the radio who has sent checks for Danny and other missionaries. Thank you, Lord. You are the one who move our hearts to give. You gave us the energy. You gave us the body, the mind, and the soul. And now, Lord, we dedicate it all to you, to your glory. Help us to give without restriction, to give until it hurts, so that the gospel may go on and on and on until you come in the glorious cloud, and we will say, praise the Lord together. Father, bless the offering then, and bless the giver, in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you from Bethel Baptist Church. We love to see you here, and we welcome those who are visiting today from different parts of the state of California, from Santa Cruz, from Salinas. There are some people even from Santa Barbara here in the auditorium, and we thank the Lord for. And maybe in your home or in your shut-in place where you are, you have a need. We love to pray in our church. The Bible calls the church a house of prayer. And I would like to get that prayer request so that I can pass it on to the men here on Friday and to the whole church on Wednesday. Our phone number is 408-778-2595. 408-778-2595. We love Jesus. He's our intercessor. He's the one who makes victory just as easy as can be. So please call us and we will pray for you. May God richly bless you. Now let's join the service in progress.
Forevermore I will reign with
you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 20. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 596. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Mark 16, verses 1 through 20. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked, and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for revealing yourself and the Lord Jesus to us through the Bible by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of faith so we can understand and grasp the reality of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, without which we would be without hope of eternal life. We thank you that Jesus overcame death as the only righteous one and guaranteed our victory over death and secured for us forgiveness and justification. We thank you for such a great salvation. Give us strength and courage, we pray, that we may walk worthy of our calling. We pray for our pastor, your servant, Gabriel Otero, as he brings the good news of the gospel, that you would bless him and his words as he expounds your word. We pray for ourselves, that you would open our ears and give us understanding. And we pray for those that do not know you, who are listening here and on the radio and the internet, that they would believe, you, Father, and inherit eternal life, even as Abraham believed you, and it was counted to him for righteousness. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
During the month of March, we are looking in our Bible for the Easter experience. On our first meditation on the Gospel of Luke, we saw that Luke presented the evidence of Jesus' resurrection, not so much as dealing with a materials proof of it, but rather presenting the drama of the human intelligence as he portrayed the circumstances of people looking for Jesus in a cemetery. Can you imagine that? Spend 3.5 years with them, told them everything, but at the end they were looking for Jesus in a cemetery. Now, in our last meditation of the Gospel of John, John, in presenting the evidence for Jesus' resurrection, deals more with its effects on the human personality than with the material proof that the Western mind always requires. We are today on the Gospel of Mark. And Mark reports the events through the eyes of the women, different than the other people. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome, who have also been first-hand witness of Jesus' crucifixion and burial, as you can see in verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Now, Mark celebrates the triumph of Jesus' resurrection by carefully presenting a historical and legal report about it. First, he deals with the resurrection verified. In that verses 1 to 8, he verified the resurrection. Then, secondly, with the resurrection personified, and he talks from verse 9 to 19, the person of the resurrection. And then, with the resurrection ratified, in verses 19 to 20. So we're going to follow Mark's legal mind. First, the resurrection verified, then the resurrection personified, identify the person who had been resurrected, and then the resurrection ratified so that we get full convicted that this is truly so. First, the resurrection verified. Now, the physical facts are right here in verse 3, Mark Gospel chapter 16 and verse 3. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? These are the women's talking. The physical facts about the resurrections are in. Jesus, who was crucified on Friday, is gone from the tomb on Sunday. And here in verse 3, three women who expected to find a decomposing body in a tomb sealed by a stone too heavy for them to move are really eyewitness to an empty tomb, an empty bench, and an empty burial garment. Look in verse 4. And when they look, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. These are the physical facts. Now the revelation of the facts come in verse 6. Look at verse 6. And he, this is the man with the white robe, and he said unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Now, faith in the resurrection might take over where physical facts leave off. God sent his messenger to speak his word, and what the messenger said, he is risen. Do you see that? That's the explanation. That is the Christian explanation to anyone who says, how in the world you believe in the resurrection? God sent his messenger, and his messenger said, he is risen, is all what God needs to say. Really? He doesn't need to say anymore. And Mark has put these, like, you know, when you buy a newspaper, the first page is the headline edition of the newspaper, the headlines. And Mark put that like in a headline. You buy tomorrow Mercury newspaper and hear the headline, he is risen. That's the way Mark writes. That's the way that God put it together. So that's the revelation of the facts. A heavenly creature have come, wait for somebody to come into the tomb. And when that person came in, that angel of God gave the answer, he is risen. That's what we Christian believes. Now the prophetic fact in verse 7. The man said, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, and as he said unto you. Do you notice the prophetic emphasis? You will see him. Just go to Galilee. You will see him as, what the text says, as he is Jesus, as he said unto you. Whatever the disciples are hiding, they must have remembered Jesus' prediction time and time again. Let me just move one page here to chapter 14 and verse 27 in the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And look at verse 28. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Do you see that? And God keeps his word. And God keeps his word. Immediately after the angel announced the resurrection, he sent the women away with personal message from the risen Christ to follow his disciples. The verse 7 in Mark 16 said clearly, go your way and tell the disciples, just as the scripture, just as everything God's plan has said in a prophetic manner is going to take place. The prophecy of God then is going to take place and took place. You go and meet him. So here is the resurrection verified. Somebody asked you why you believe in the resurrection. You said, because God says so. That's it. That's it. So, but we don't understand it, or no man of science can prove it. Who cares? God says so. God says so. No man, God says so. In his word, he is. In what God said, he is risen. Any other explanation? Don't need it. Now the resurrection personified, verses 9 to 18. At the close of the angel announcement of the resurrection, he sent the message through the women to the disciples that they will see Jesus in Galilee, just as he promised. I like that. Just as he promised. Now, according to verses 9 to 18, other appearances precede that meeting of Galilee. First, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, and he revealed himself to reward her faithfulness. Look at in verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene
out of whom he has cast seven demons. That's one appearance. Secondly, Jesus' personal appearance comes to the men who had given up hope of the resurrection and are heading back to their home to Emmaus. He revealed himself to restore their confidence. Look at in verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And you have a written explanation of that in Luke chapter 24, where these people were really discouraged. They were really under stress because they put every trust in Jesus and he was crucified, and our Savior tenderness and kindness and gentleness meet them and reveal himself to them through the scripture. Now, thirdly, in his final appearance, Jesus comes into the room where the 11 remaining disciples are reclining at dinner, still refusing to believe the reports of those who have seen Jesus alive. Look at verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided with them and reproved them, really, because of their unbelief and hardness of hearts, because they believe not them which have seen him after he was risen. Now, the process to the disciples was like this. Jesus revealed the resurrection to these women. The women became a witnessing tool in the hands of God, as you are a witnessing tool in the hands of God. And these women went and told that those who were supposed to believe, they told them, now look, the scripture has been fulfilled, and they believe not. And Jesus was really upset because those people of his own kingdom believed not what he said. It's like when you and I read the scripture and don't fulfill it. God is very upset about it. To encourage the disciples, he promised victory over a satanic power. Verses 17 to 18, and I read it for you. This is an encouragement over satanic power. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Yes, sir. When you preach the gospel and somebody believes, you have taken the devil out of that person. Yes, sir. Every individual, being not a believer, is a believer of Satan. Either you are of the truth or you are of the lie. And when you are an unbeliever, you are under satanic dominion and you are a property of Satan. And when the gospel is preached, without me doing any exorcism, without me doing anything with my hands, when the gospel is preached, the power of God through the Spirit of God penetrates an individual, and that Satan has to go. That's what it is. He said, don't worry about it. You live under the Roman Empire, sophisticated, with great aqueducts, remarkable in engineering construction. You live in a scientific world full of control of Satan. But when you preach, don't worry about it. The preaching of the Word of God is more powerful than Satan himself. And demons will flee away. Verse 17, at the end, they said, and they shall speak with new tongues. And the word is glossa, which means languages. And see, the gospel was first in Hebrew. Actually, Koine Greek. That was the gospel was speaking. Even the Roman Empire, as you check history, spoke Greek because of the remarkable work of Alexander the Great, who said, you can be free in your line, but just change the language, speak my language. And you know, if you change your language, you change your costume, you change the way you live, you change the way you eat. You change everything when you change your language. That's what the Spanish people don't want to change the language, because you have to give away everything you are when you change the language. No wonder the Asian people, so I read today in the paper, the 60% of San Jose now is Asian growth, and they will not give up the language, because if you give up the language, you give up your country and your custom. It's a new language. And you remember Acts 15, when the church in Antioch in Syria became a believer, and the apostles said, oh, what's going on? Those Syrians believing? Yes, a new language in the gospel. You and I, in English today, speaking the gospel, a new language, fulfilling that scripture. Verse 18, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, who is the serpent in the Bible? In Revelation chapter 20, and in verse 2 said, God called Satan the serpent. Let me show it to you. Revelation chapter 20. In verse 2, this is what the Bible says. And he laid hold, he's talking about an angel, laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is what? The devil and Satan. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2. So when the Bible said here, it marks 16:18, they shall take up serpents and they will drink anything. In other words, when you disciples are going to be confronting Satan eye to eye, but you just keep on preaching the gospel and will not hurt you. Will not hurt you. Will not even touch you. What a remarkable promise. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In other words, you will have power to talk to those people who are sick in their heart, who are sick as can be, and they shall recover. They will find the Lord. It's not talking about starting a clinic where you put patients and you put the hands on them and they recover. It's not talking about that. It's talking about the spiritual recovery of people. This is well known in all stages. I remember when I was in my class in seminary in practical theology, Dr. Brown told me this. Everybody in the pew is a sick patient. And you need to deal individually later on after you preach. You need to visit them and you need to deal individually because everybody have a different need like patients in a hospital. What a great truth. What a great truth. And so, to encourage the disciples, he promised victory over the satanic power of this world. Now, the personification of Jesus Christ in the resurrection has given us power to preach and live in a state of celebration regardless of the circumstances. You understand that? The personification of Jesus Christ's resurrection has given us the power to preach and to live in a state of celebration regardless of the circumstances. Satan and his demons and his world has been defeated at the cross of Calvary and the resurrection, and we got the message and the Savior to proclaim. And we are sleeping sometimes. That's my problem. Satan is a smart cookie. He wants to start arguing rather than preaching. There are churches who their ministry, they call it on defense of the gospel, is against this denomination and against the other and the other. And let's not draw ourselves to such a terrible mistake. We are here against Satan, not against my brother or sister who understand different things in different way. We are here to preach Christ Jesus and him crucified because he has power. And Satan, if he cannot make you to sin, he will make you to deviate from your call. Be careful. We are against Satan. Be careful. Number three, the resurrection ratified. Verses 19 in verse 20. Let me read it for you. Glorious verses. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following in the Bible, in the gospel, the only gospel who ends with the word, Amen. Amen is be done. It's true. It's fantastic. So after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up in heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere. That's where Jesus is, at the right hand of God in heaven. That's a good verse to treasure in your head. If somebody asks you, so where is Jesus? Right here, and in Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells you that he is at the right hand of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, he's at the right hand of God in heaven. But he is seated because his work is finished, but not yours and mine. Is that right? His work is completed. He defeated Satan, and he released the power to the people. And so he sits down as a sign of completeness, but not for you and me. He said, go. Look at verse 15 in the same gospel. He said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to what? To every creature. See, Jesus' ascension into heaven is a good news. His redemptive mission is complete. His full glory is restored, as he prayed in John chapter 17. His position at the right hand of God assures power on intersection. And thus the gospel ended with the word Amen. God complete his work. Finish. Nothing more to it. Don't add any work to the church of God. Don't add anything to that Bible. It is done. It is complete. It is finished. Now you and I get the power and go. That's what Jesus said. So it's good. I have enough minutes to challenge you because my heart is heavy. And I narrow down my sermon as much as possible. Throw away a lot of pages so that I can have this time with you. What is the message that the Gospel of Mark wants us to convey through the resurrection when he quoted that verse, go ye into all the world and I give you all the power? Well, I jot down a few thoughts. Let's spend no time, no financial efforts other than in the preaching of the gospel for our church. Eventually, we maybe have a need of a building. I met the pastor for the first time here in town. I know him for over 30 years. And we were eating at the same place yesterday. And I hear his voice, and like my voice, are very distinguishable. And I said, you are a nasty guy. What are you doing in my town? And we just hug each other, and he has his elders, and we talk together. He's a very professional and very elite speaker. But I told him my goal, and he asked me, he said, what is your goal for this town? That everybody in this town will have a Bible. That's my goal. And the rest is up to God. His commission does not consider difficulties when Jesus said go. Danger or barriers to be reason for not going. You see, in verse 15, he said, go into all the world. In verse 17 and 18, so you will have all these difficulties, you will have all these problems, you will heaven on with Satan, but you go, friend, because you got the power of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus did not discuss excuses for not sharing the gospel. He did not say, well, when you have time, go. You got it? The issue of eternal life versus eternal damnation is too critical an issue to allow anything to stop the gospel from going on. Believe me, it is a serious issue. Satan knows it and wants to distract you and me so that we do not share the gospel and the power of the gospel with his words to people. Believe me. So, brethren, I want to talk about us. The gospel has to be carried on. No land is to be neglected, and no people are to be ignored. I wrote in my Bible. No land is to be neglected, and no people are to be ignored. I wrote that 34 years ago. No ever dreaming that my voice will be carried on through the continents of the world. But I'm your pastor. And as your pastor, I hear these words, go into all the world. What have we done? What have we done with that command? Let me refresh your mind. It is an outstanding record. That's what I want to read it. How do we measure up against that command? Go. Pastor Otero, see, he's not blaming you. Remember, he was not talking to the women and to these. He's blaming the man. If your home is wrong, don't blame your wife. That's what Adam did, remember? God, the women, you give me a bologna. You man got the pants. You are responsible for this. The woman never is guilty, the man. And so the pastor is always guilty in all the church. So that scared me. So I sit down and I said, Lord, let me see. Number one, on Sunday, let's talk about Sunday. Here's the Sunday school hour where we share biblical information, and I'm sure in the little classes, evangelism too. I feel good about it. In the morning worship service, we have exhortation and evangelism. In Pacific Hill Manor, we have evangelism and encouragement. And the 3 to 5 training on Sunday, we have training of voices, young people, and adult participation. At 5 o'clock, when we close the day, we have teaching, deep teaching in the scripture. On Monday, every other Monday, the ladies have Bible study for information and exhortation. On Wednesday night, we have prayers with devotionals. On Friday noon, we have another prayer meeting for ourselves and for the city. And then we have what I call 7x24. That means 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Pastoral service through the number 408-390-0998. And I get the less calls I get in a day is 10. And some of them are 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning. I welcome them. People around America calling and need it. That's a 7x24 service, free of charge for the people who have a need. Then we have the radio broadcast, KKMC, KKXX, with 1/4 of the population of California. Wow. What we are, about 38 million people? 1/4 of the population of California. Then we have the internet, www.kkmc.com, the entire world. No wonder I get a letter from Japan. I get a letter from Italy. My heart is really rejoicing. Then we have the tape ministry who reached the USA. Now, what is lacking? I said, Lord, what is lacking? So I start walking in the church parking lot. Now, don't get me wrong. I had no ambition for luxury buildings at all. I'm like Russell, I know we are very happy. When this other pastor told me the payments of $12,000 a month, they have to do on interest, I was scared to death to even think in a new building. He only talked about money. He said, we need money, we need this and the other. I don't blame him. When you have to pay $12,000 a month, interest alone. So I walk around here, happy, smiling. Oh, wow, what is it like? Until I get to the trailer on the far side. And I walk in, and I see in the back boxes. What are these boxes? Bibles. Why are they here? I said to myself, because I had done a mistake. Rather than me going out with you, I put somebody else. It's my mistake. Believe me, it's not yours. It's mine. So I invite you to follow the pastor every Thursday after the month of April, starting in May. Pastor's going to be here. And I'm going to take a handful of Bibles, and I'm going to start across the street here where the medical center is, and just move on. Don't worry about records, chronological, alphabetical, or whatever. Just take the Bible and knock the door and say, "Mom, we are from Bethel Baptist Church. We want to give you this book. Have power on it. When you read it, we'll convert your soul. It's yours free. You don't ask for it, we just give it to you. And leave it there. Is that going to work, Pastor?" 25 years ago, I sent 27,000 Bibles through Family Radio to Honduras, especially to the city of San Pedro Sula, who was at that time a very agriculture city. You know, bananas and rice and things like that. The Lord gave me the pleasure 10 years later to visit. And there were people with flags, white flags, on the airport. And I thought there was somebody coming in, maybe the United Nations secretary or somebody, because white flags means peace, all right? And the mayor of the city was there, and he told me, "You have taught people to read." See, together with the Bible, in my radio program, I said, "I'm going to read the Bible very slowly in Castilian language, like this. The El Señor vino." And everybody thought I was a nut. But everybody in the farm will get their little Bible and follow the broadcast and learn to pronounce the Castilian language. And five churches were founded in the area. They had no idea. See, this is the seed of God, the Bible. We're going to give it away. My brother, I have to apologize to you for not leading you in this. I should be the one who, I don't care if I don't have to sleep that day and go to the radio at 3 o'clock in the morning and come back by noon, but I will do the work until every Bible in the back is gone and we order another 5,000 more. I tell you, the people at Morgan Hill need to know that Jesus can save. If they come to this church or not to this church, I care less. What I really care is that their soul be saved and God be glorified. Let's do that, and we will prove the resurrection in that way. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for challenging us to do the work of an evangelist. You said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2 and in verse 5, do the work of an evangelist. And I apologize you, O God, for not doing so in this area. And I pray that your people here will follow with me and we will invade the city and let them know that there is a God who has power to save because Jesus has rose again. In Jesus' name we pray with blessings from you. Amen.
Down deep in my soul,
a melody rings.
A melody rings.
I'm winging my way.
My spirit now sings.
I'm winging my way.
I'm winging my way back home.
I'm climbing each day.
Every day since Jesus is mine.
Truly mine.
I travel the road.
Narrow road.
To the glory divine.
To glory divine.
That enters the gate.
I'm winging my way back home. A wonderful time
is waiting ahead.
my way.
Stand, please, for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. All right.